afternoon, Armstrong County. This is Dana's Radio Diner. I'm Dana Vernon.
And I'm Dick Vernon.
Our show at Dana's Radio Diner is about interesting people, interesting places, and interesting subjects. And we have some of that here today. We've got friends of ours from back when Dick first started playing music years and years ago, and it's Hank King and Howard Vokes from the New Kensington area. They're going to tell us a little bit about how they got started in their musical careers, and they've had some big careers around here.
I'm sure a lot of people, even up around Armstrong County, would know Howard and Hank.
I'm sure
they've performed in their area many times.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to turn it over to them, and Hank, you want to start us out and tell us a little bit about how you got started, and then we'll let Howard do some talking, and we'll go from there.
Well, first I want to thank you for, you and Dick coming up here today to our place so we can do this
show. It's a pleasure.
It's just been great times just being together again, you know.
Well, me and Dick go back, years. Well, when I first had my band, he played steel for me, and then Bill Electric played fiddle for me.
Yeah.
And Bill Mazza played drums.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And we played all around this area. We played parks and, different places.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how we started. But I started when I was about 18 years old. I was still in high school, and there was a band in New Kensington by the name of Rusty Herman and the Missouri Mountaineers.
Mm.
And their lead singer was Al Linza, and he was going to the service, so they needed a singer. So he contacted me, Rusty, and I was on that station for about 6.5 years.
And you were 18.
I was 18, mm-hmm. and we played every Saturday from 4 to 4:30, every Saturday on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But we played this area. We played all this area, Katanning, Tarentum, Bracken. We played all this area right there, And I was with him for, like I said, for about 6.5 years. And then I met Howard. But I knew Howard before, from singing. And then Howard got me a recording contract with Blue Ribbon Records.
Oh, okay.
And that was in Chicago. And I had the first 78. That was a 78.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you have that hanging on the wall.
I have it on the wall.
That's really neat.
That was a 78. And that didn't last too long. And then they went over to the 45s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then Howard got me on Blue Hen. And that was in Delaware. So then the two songs that Howard wrote was I Want to Know and Adam Bomb Heart. Well, they did okay, but when it went on to 45s, it did a little bit better for me. But then after that, in 1957, I recorded two more songs on Blue Hen. And one was called Cry Like a Baby, and that was an A. Cuff and Rose song. And then I needed an A song, so I went to Ohio, and there was a songwriter by the name of Russ Hall. And I went to see him, and he says, Hank, I think I got a song for you on the A side. I wanted a slower ballad.
It's funny, people today, I don't think, know the difference between A and B side.
I was thinking that, too.
But back when they had records, you had an A side, which is the one you want them to play, and then a B side. But sometimes the B side took off better,
right? Well, this is what happened. But
on CDs, we don't have that.
No, but a lot of times the B side would hit instead of the A side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but I went to Ohio, and he said, I got a song for you, Hank. And Russ Hall wrote There Stands a Glass for Webb Pierce.
Oh, wow.
He was
that's
a big songwriter.
Song.
Yeah. So he said, Hank, he said, I think Webb's going to cut this song, just believe in me. But he said, if he does cut it, he could help you. So Webb didn't cut it.
Mm.
So I cut it, and I took it to Decca. I had the acetate, and I took it to Decca in Pittsburgh, and they really liked it.
Yeah.
But they said they couldn't make a decision to sign me for Decca, but they had to send the acetate to Paul Cohen, and he was in New York. So I said, I hope he takes it, and I can get on Decca then. So I got a letter back from him, and he said, Hank, we're not signing any new artists at that time. So in the meantime, Howard, he gets his acetate, and he sends it to BMI and ASCAP. And Believe in Me comes out with 5 stars for a hit.
Wow.
But I was on a small label.
Yeah.
And that's what really hurt me. But then after that, I went to Nashville, and because I had that, I was on with Ernest Tubb twice at the record shop. And then I was on with Ralph Emery, Grant Turner, T. Tommy.
Wow.
I had all the interviews there. And this one time I'm coming up the steps, and I got to know Farron Young real good. And I'm coming up the steps this one time. They had the Jamboree Frolics was on Friday afternoon. And I'm coming up the steps, and Farron said, Hey, Hank, he said, you want to join my band?
Wow.
And I said, what am I going to do, carry your guitar case? I was just kidding him. He said, no, I need a a rhythm guitar player and a singer to back me up. So he said, you got to let me know because we're taking off for on tour tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I called my manager in Pittsburgh, and he said, Hank, don't go with him. And today I still feel that I should have gone with him. And I would have got maybe on a major label, you know. Mm-hmm. Then after that, I came home. Then I went down to Louisiana, and I was on a hayride down there. And that was the time Johnny Horton got killed. Mm. That time, but that was a big show, and I have that big plaque on the wall there.
Yes, that's beautiful.
You could see.
Well, that was about second to the Grand Ole Opry, wasn't it, as far as well-known.
I mean, they call that the Cradle of the Stars. That's where they started.
Yeah.
Byrne, Webb Pierce, Jim Reeves.
Didn't Elvis start down there?
Yeah. So then after I was there, and then I came home, and then my dad died in 1959, and I didn't want to play that much anymore. Yeah. So then I still had Believe in Me, and they were playing it a lot. And then Howard contacted Doc Williams on the Wheeling Jamboree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Howard got me on the Jamboree. Mm-hmm. So I credit Howard with a lot of things that I have. Okay. In all the magazines I've been in, I give him all the credit.
Wow.
But that's how. And then I came home, and then I played around here a lot. And then I've made, in the last maybe the 4 years, I made about 6 CDs.
Oh.
So I'm with Howard all the time. So we're always, we play jobs together, and we're still around this area. But I give him all the credit for really helping me out. So, probably give him the credit, too. You know, Dickie helped you out a lot,
too.
Yeah,
sure.
Oh, yeah.
Howard's helped a lot of people. Yeah. Well, Howard's sitting here, too. Why don't we let Howard tell us a little bit about how you got started, and then we can join forces here again, huh?
Okay. Yeah, well, it's a long story.
Oh, I know. We only got half an hour.
A lot of excitement. I started out, my uncles were musicians up in Clearfield, PA.
Yeah, you came from Clearfield, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
My father was born in Clearfield County.
Yeah. Didn't Buddy Spiker
I was around him, too.
Yeah.
My uncles were on radio. They had bands up there, and Bud Moore and the Hillsdale Hillbillies. My cousin Tommy Marischke. It was all a musical family, and I always watched my uncle Steve play the guitar and got interested. And I was very young, and then I wanted a guitar. And to make a long story short, we was living in Amesbury, PA. And my dad said, we're going to walk over, I think it was Altoona. We walked over there to the Hawk Shop, and my dad got me a guitar for $5.
I paid $8 for my first one.
Yeah, $5 for, and I started picking with that and everything. And then we moved from Clearfield here to the Plum area. I got involved playing parties and I was playing a guitar, and I carried the harmonica.
I heard about that. Anyway.
Yeah, the harmonica. Mm-hmm. And they'd get me to play for parties and stuff and everything. And well, one thing left, I did a lot of that, and of course I loved country music. Mm-hmm. And
we still do, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And
that's great.
I got on the radio WAVL with Cousin Carl, and let's see, Buddy Starcher.
Yeah.
And I was on with him, and then I did a couple spots on WKPA in New Kensington.
Well, WAVL, that was a big country station in the morning.
I'm coming to that. We had a...
And Hank was on there too, right?
We were farmers at that time. It started like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I used to ask the guy who owns the station, I says, who's going to listen to us? He said, Hank, them farmers, when they're milking those cows, and he said, they listen to us. I said, I can't believe that, you know? But that station... I mean, used to pick up way down in Mississippi, Florida, and everything. I mean, it really went down south, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was a small radio station, but, I mean, they had a lot of listeners there.
Yeah.
But you know what I was going to tell you, Dana, too? Whenever I was in Pittsburgh, when I played with Abby Neal and Slim Bryant and those groups, you know.
Those are familiar names.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to play, and I played with Jim Reeves and Marty Robbins at the Siri Mosque. And I played with... he used to be a fiddle player. I mean, he played for Star Day. He played on some of your sessions, Howard.
Yeah.
And I played a lot in that area in Pittsburgh. You know, we used to play.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of guys like Slim Bryant, they never left. They never went to Nashville, which they could have. But they stayed in the Pittsburgh area all the time because, I don't know, they were on KDKA.
Yeah.
They just liked to stay in that area, you know. Like Abby Neal was the same thing. I mean, they played, and then Abby went to Wheeling, and then they played a lot, you know. But when I was on the Wheeling Jamboree, I was on with... Hawkshaw, Offshell Hawkins, Roy Scott, and Doc Williams and Chickie. That group, you know. I mean, that was a good group down there.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, whenever you talk about Wheeling, if you put the Grand Ole Opry in the middle, then you put KWKH, Louisiana Hayride on one side, and Wheeling on the other side.
Yeah.
They were all...
That was the biggies.
And a lot of guys that came, Grandpa Jones and them, they all came from Wheeling.
Yeah. Well, Malie and Stoney Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, look at them, yeah. I mean, there was a lot. I mean, they called them it was like the stepping stones.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, of going to the Grand Ole Opry. And then Dusty Owens, he was on there when I was down there. He could have went to Nashville, too, but then he went into the ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He went to Florida.
He's in Florida.
But he's real sick now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is he really?
He's real sick, yeah.
You know, you talk about Dusty Owens. His steel guitar player, Roger Blevins, was
Roger
one of
Blevins,
the persons that inspired me to play steel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was a great guy. He'd introduce or invite me up to the studio afterwards, a show they did after the Jamboree. Yeah. And just a great guy, you know. And he went on to the... Presley's? Yeah, Presley's. Don Branson.
Branson. I watched him
out there for a while.
But you know, I was going to tell you, you know, when Dusty left and he went into ministry, then he got out of the ministry, he called Howard.
Oh,
and
really?
Howard got him back into the music business.
Wow.
Yeah. Howard got him to record again. He went to Nashville and Buddy Spiker, they set up a session, and that's what happened. That he got it, but he started him back.
Wow.
Yeah, Dusty didn't want to start back, and he said, Howard, he said, well, you was in that business. And Dusty was a great entertainer.
Oh, he was.
He was a good songwriter, and he was a great entertainer. And I think at that time, when he was down there with Hawkshaw Hawkins, there was a lot of, you know, I mean, friction between them, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Hawkshaw left, and then he stayed there. But Dusty was always a great entertainer. I mean, I love Dusty.
He had Donna Darlene with him, too.
Yeah.
I love Donna Darlene.
Yeah,
singing.
Yeah.
His big record was Once More.
Once More.
Roy Acuff recorded it. He had another big one, Hello Operator.
That was
Columbia
Records. The Life to Live.
Yeah.
He wrote that,
But anyway, getting back to what I did, I mean, it would take so long. I mean, it's just so many things that I did. But to make a long story short, we had the Early Bird Jamboree, WAVL and Apollo back then, and it was very successful. It was every Saturday morning, and come on at 4 o'clock till 6:30. And we pulled mail from, I think, between 15 and 18 states.
Wow.
At that particular time in the
world.
Wow, that's exciting.
But then, like I say, I was... playing various places. Then I started my country boy band, and we started playing all different places, getting booked. Had a special request for Willie Roy the Cripple Boy, and my buddy who was in a wheelchair at the time, he says, "Howard," he said, "that's your record." He said, "That's going to be." He said, "You got to record that sometime." You know, I just said, well, yeah. I said, well, maybe sometime, you know, I might. And his name was Butch Clark. And every time he'd come where I was playing, he'd say, I want you to do Willie Roy. But anyway, to make another long story short, we was in Cleveland, Ohio. I had been manager of Denver Duke and Jeffrey Knoll. They had a pretty big record, 1953, with the song that I had written about the death of Hank Williams. Hank Williams, the Alabama Boy.
Yeah.
I got them to record it, and it really took off. It was a hit record that paved the way for them to her Mercury Records. Mm. But anyway, we was doing this show at, the Circle Theater in Cleveland, Ohio. I believe it was the Circle. And there was a bluegrass band backing up Denver Duke and Jeffrey Knoll, and Tex Clark said, Howard, he says, well, why don't you sing a couple songs? He says, you're not scheduled to sing, because I was more or less the manager of Denver Duke and Jeffrey Knoll. But anyway, I forget the one song I did. Mediocre applause. So I turned around, I told the guys in the bluegrass band, I said, you know Willie Roy, the Cripple Boys, the old Doc Williams song? A guy says, yeah, we're aware of it. And I said, well, hit KFC. And I did Willie Roy the Cripple Boy. Place went crazy. There was over 1,000 people in that theater.
Wow.
And I mean, I took three encores with that winner.
Wow.
And I knew right then and there that was
a winner.
And then Denver Duke and Jeffrey Nall come over and said, Howard, you got to do that. You got to record that. And but anyway, to make another long story short, I mean, I did come back and I did. We did the recording up in Cleveland, Ohio, and with my band, the Country Boys.
Yeah. Do you want to mention who was in your band at that time?
Yeah, well, it was Skeets Martin, Johnny Droles, Bob Rose.
I remember Bob Rose. Yeah. I remember all
yeah,
of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sam Hummel.
Yeah, Sam Hummel. I recorded the song and was released on Del Rio Records. Well, in the meantime, I mean, we start shipping the records out and everything, and I had gone to Nashville on some other things that I had to do down there, and when I come back, we was here in Willie Roy on quite a few stations. I came back, man. They had my mail tied up. They couldn't get it in that big drawer.
Must have been exciting.
Oh my goodness! they were shipping records everywhere. I mean, it was a big record for me, and it paved my way to start A Records in Nashville.
Yeah, which is a big label.
Yeah, it was a big label, and I went down there and we did a the Tragedy and Disaster. LP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But at that time, and it's still, after 40, 45 years, it's still in the catalog, still selling.
Yeah.
After all these years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Howard, I've been reading some of your bio that Dick found on the internet, and there's a lot of stuff about Howard Vokes on the internet. It's pretty interesting. But it talks about you operating various jamborees in this area and how much traditional talent that you used to book. That was your main goal, was traditional country music talent. Yeah. And how about tell us about some of those places that you had these great jamborees?
Well, we had the Grills Hotel Jamboree every Saturday night for almost 16 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played down there with
you. Yeah, and we booked a Saturday night. It was just, people were standing in line to get in. At times, we booked in artists like Patsy Montana, worked with Gene Autry,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Kenny Roberts, Jimmy Skinner. I mean, there were so many, and then I had Doc Williams, and we had the Edna Hotel Jamboree on, I believe it was on Fridays.
Yeah.
And we did some shows at the Logan's Ferry Fire Hall. I operated Ravine Park for a couple years, and then, of course, we did a lot of work up at the Pine Edge Ranch in Franklin,
yeah.
PA.
With Norm Kelly and Junie Luke.
Norm Kelly and Junie Luke Kelly.
Yeah.
We were on a jamboree, a lot of jamboree shows. We did a lot of, we played a lot of parks. We played Tippecanoe Park in Somerset.
Yeah, yeah.
Somerset.
Yeah.
And then worked with Buck Owens at the Oak Leaf Park in Luray, Virginia.
Wow.
We could go on and on with there's so many of them where we were. We did an awful lot of work up through Clearfield County with Bud Moore and Hillsdale Hillbillies.
Yeah.
I mean, we were involved in just about anything that was real traditional country music. Well, and I was always a fighter for that, no matter what.
Good traditional stuff.
Yeah.
And we did so much for country music. I did a lot of promotion. I spent a lot of my own money that that I shouldn't have, but I did it for the love of the music.
You're still on a lot of different labels, aren't you now?
Oh,
even
yeah.
They play over in Europe and all around the world?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I think we have right now about 5 or 6 CDs issued in Canada.
Oh.
I'd say about 15, 16, 17 different record labels, all in different various Ford countries. Mm-hmm. But I remember when we were working at Tippecanoe Park with Roy Acuff and his band. I had a record out called Mountain Guitar, and Cowboy Phil was.
Yeah, in Greensburg. Yeah,
Cowboy Phil was the booker and MC and stuff. Mm-hmm. He says he come over to me. He says, Howard, yeah, I want you to know. He says we only have one Roy Acuff here, not two. So that means I had to change my program. So when I went on, I did Hank Williams songs and Cowboy Copas numbers.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a brand new record out after Willie Roy the Cripple Boy hit pretty good. I had Mountain Guitar on Del Rey. Mountain Guitar. So I figured, well, at least I'll do Mountain Guitar. I'll finish it up with it. So anyway, I did mountain guitar, and I said goodbye to the audience, and pretty soon Cowboy Phil come running and says, "Hey, Roy Acuff wants to see you." I went over to Roy, and he says, "That song," he says, "I want to record that song." He says, "The only thing is, Howard, we want the publishing rights." And at the time, it was in our folks' music, Rudy Thacker and Bill Browning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I said, "Yeah." I said, "We can get the publishing rights for you," which he did. He did it. But once that shot me out of the saddle on that one, because Roy covered it, you know. And then I had a record called "Ghost of a Honky Tonk Slave" that Tex Williams covered.
Oh.
And of course, the big one that came out was "Tears of the Grand Ole Opry" by Wanda Jackson.
Yeah,
on
yeah.
Decca Records. Mm-hmm. That was a big one. I still get royalties from that. Since that was released in 1956, I think.
Is that right? You still get royalties. That's
yeah.
We had Wanda Jackson down at the park in Florida when we were down there.
Mm-hmm.
We booked her down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know how many songs I got on record, but I know there's plenty. I just hope that we could get back to the old traditional style, because it's really getting bad out there. And there ain't too many of us left. And when you start losing all of them, and we won't have any of the old-timers left, you know.
Well, I think Larry Black down in Nashville is really helping us, keeping country music alive. Mm-hmm. Does Larry's Country Diner, and does a lot of the the CDs that are out on
RFD TV.
On RFD TV.
Mm-hmm.
And that's helping us a lot to keep the real country.
Marty Stewart's doing a good job.
The real country music alive.
Yeah. And if it wasn't for RFD, I don't know where it'd be today.
Oh, I know.
Isn't that the truth, though?
Yeah. That's really, I mean, that's all country. I watch that all the time.
Oh, we do,
you
too.
You sit and watch that Country's Family Reunion, and especially this one they had with Bill Anderson, his 50 years of his life. And you see these entertainers, and one by one they're dying. We just lost Ferlin Husky last week, Ralph Mooney, a steel guitar player. You know,
Charlie Louvin.
Yeah. I mean, there's three major people there, and you see them on there, and it just, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now. But
and then we lost Doc Williams.
Roy
Scott.
Doc Williams was from Tarrytown, right around
too.
Katanning area.
I mean, Doc was a good friend of mine. I booked him so many times.
Yeah.
And then also Lee Moore for Old Coffee Drinking Night.
Oh, yeah. The cat came back.
I booked him. And
every time I see a cat, I think of Lee Moore. Yeah. The cat came back, remember?
Hey, Dick, and another one from our area died. He was a good friend of all of ours. It was Wayne Hart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah. We did an interview with him.
We interviewed Wayne.
Did you interview him?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
You know what used to happen? When I was on a Wheeling Jamboree, and Wayne liked to go hunting. Wyoming,
yes,
big game, you know.
Oh yeah.
And so I took his place a couple times out at the in Freeport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was at the top of the hill.
Top of the hill, Hilltop Restaurant.
Yeah. I took. And this one guy was telling me he was out in Wyoming too, and he says he went hunting out there too, and him and his friend were walking down the street, and he went past this bar, and this guy said, "That sounds exactly like Wayne Hart." And he went in, it was Wayne. It was Wayne singing.
Yeah.
But I liked Wayne all the time. Me and him got along really good. But I played a show at Carnegie Music Hall in Northside.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah,
I played with Skeets. I had my own band. I think there was Mac Martin was down there, his band. I think there was seven bands down there. But I can always say I played at Syria Mosque in the Music Hall. Then there was another one. There was another big one in Pittsburgh.
Well, plus the Wheeling Jamboree and the Louisiana Hayride.
You know what I played? I played KWKH, Louisiana Hayride.
Yeah.
I played WSM, and then I played WWVA.
Yeah.
And WAVL.
Yeah.
That was a little station, but we had a lot of fun up there.
We
always
did,
playing.
Yeah.
That was a nice station, but that was a good old days, and we try to go back. Me and Howard talk about it all the time. You know, we try to.
Yeah, you know, that's what's fun when you sit around with friends and we talk about country music, traditional country music. Yeah. Somebody said the other day, the traditional country music you're talking about, is that classic what I call? And I said, I believe it is.
Yes, it is.
It's the classic.
It's the real country music.
You know what it was, Dick, years ago? Whenever I belonged to the union, I think the scale was $8. And I used to go Katanning, Parker. I played for $8. But we loved the music so much, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We traveled.
Yeah.
And then I played with with Stoney Brooks too, and the Travelers.
Oh yeah, I was
with Stoney.
Well, Moog's still around.
Moog still has the band a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that was a good band around here too. Yeah, yeah, good. You know. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of good country people, a lot of good country music all around this area.
That music was the best. That music told a story.
It does.
This music today, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, it's good for these kids, but with Hank Williams and that, I mean, that told.
Yeah,
our life
real story. real life people, real life stories.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it started with Hank Williams, and you listen to Hank Williams sing, and it brings tears to your eyes.
Yeah,
sure. Definitely.
It was great.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're just about getting ready to wrap up here, and I have Howard's bio here from the internet, and this paragraph here, it says, "Finally, if you're not convinced yet of Howard's devotion to country, traditional country music, we'll leave you with a quote from an article by Hugh T. Wilson called Howard Vokes, Pennsylvania's King of Country. And it says about Howard, he's such a fighter for traditional country music that he should be in the Hall of Fame."
That's right.
Yeah, and that's quite an honor to have somebody tell that about you.
But Howard, you are a legend here.
Yeah.
And we can appreciate all you've done for country music, especially in this area,
to keep it alive. Well, you know what, Dick and Dana, I mean, country music, the people that love country music, I like the good, simple things in life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, country music really tells a story of life.
Yeah.
And like I says, and nothing can change that fact. I always felt that, you know, real country gospel and bluegrass music is like God's music, you know?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that Hank just showed me here. This is America's Old Time Country Music Hall of Fame is proud to induct Hank King.
Well, Howard's in there too.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, Howard's in there too.
Wonderful.
It's in Iowa.
It says, in accordance with the bylaws of the National Traditional Country Music Association and the wishes of its membership, this honor is bestowed with humility and pride. We recognize the significant contribution made by this inductee in the preservation, promotion, and performance of traditional country music locally, nationally, and internationally. And that was August 28th in 2007, Missouri Valley, Iowa, before thousands of like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Well, that's quite an honor. Mm-hmm. It is just so nice just hearing all this good stuff. And it's sad, but we're going to have to close up. Got a half an hour, so we're about done here. But
do you have about a 30-second closing remark, Hank?
Well, I just want to say I'm so glad you and Dana came up, Dick, because, I mean, we played a lot together, you know, and we love country music, traditional country music, and we're so glad to have you here to interview me and Howard, because we're getting up in age, too. You never know what's going to happen, you know?
You never know.
But we'll go down in our grave that we love traditional country music, and we played it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, played it well.
We played it well.
Yeah, I second the motion what Hank just said. And like I say, I want to wish everybody, I mean, a lot of happiness and keep fighting for our kind of music, good old country music.
Mm-hmm.
It's been good to me, and it still is. And
you've been good for it too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, we appreciate that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, Hank and Howard, it sure has been a pleasure just sitting around talking about country music and reminiscing about old times and the many accomplishments that you people have done with country music in the area. And what I would like to do now is let people know if they want to get in touch with either Hank or Howard, they can contact him at Howard's address, which is Howard Vokes, that's V-O-K-E-S, Box 12, New Kensington, PA, 15068.
We're just wrapping up the show here with Hank and Howard today, and I wanted to mention one other thing, too. Howard's many successes include manager of several country artists, a booking agency, a songwriter, music publisher, record owner, promoter, singer, and really anything else that might pertain to the country music circles. Congratulations to you and Hank both in all the things that you've done throughout your entire life and keeping this country music alive and well here in Western Pennsylvania. We've really enjoyed all your music all these years. So again, thanks for listening to Dana's Radio Diner on WTYM 1380 AM Katanning. Hope you enjoyed our show today. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 on WTYM 1380 AM Katanning. Make somebody's day today. Give them a compliment.